The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Please be seated. Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, it's the sixth day of Christmas, right? So Christmas is only halfway over, but I don't know about your neighborhood, but in my neighborhood, Christmas is getting wrapped up and thrown out with the garbage and the recycle, and the tree is kicked to the curb. Stop, wait a second. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. I said Merry Christmas to someone a while back, and I actually, like, you know, it's not Christmas anymore, weirdo. And it made me a little gun-shy to wish people Merry Christmas, and I thought, gosh, how dare this happen to me? I want to say Merry Christmas and be joyful because it's Christmas. It's time for us to keep celebrating the child born of Mary that has changed literally everything in your life and my life. It's fascinating to me how Jesus has also changed our world. To be sure, I guess you can be cynical and say, for a lot of people, it's just about marketing. But no, it's more. It's more. Think of all the people that celebrated a birthday they weren't even really aware of. And yet they celebrated a birthday. And that birthday is not just any kind of birthday. It's the birth of a child to you and me. To us a son is given. To us a child is born. And as much as everyone is moving on to the next marketing ploy or what's going on sale and after Christmas shopping, there are things in your life and my life, scenes from the Christmas account that I hope you'll never box up and put in the attic. And really, it's about what we've just heard today about Simeon and Anna and how they treated baby Jesus, even how Mary and Joseph treated baby Jesus. According to the custom of the law, they took their little baby boy to the temple to fulfill and do what God had said needed to be done. And while there, as they were going through all that, the presentation of their child to the Lord to redeem him back to them so that they could have Jesus in their home, a guy grabs Jesus and holds him up and celebrates. I don't know about you, moms and dads, but I don't know. I'd be a little on edge seeing someone grab one of my kids to hold him up, and I don't know who he is. And then Anna, the elderly woman who was so filled with joy, told everybody, hey, this is the one. This is the consolation of Israel. I mean, think about how they treated Jesus. It's beautiful. And I hope that you'll never put those scenes away from Christmas. Because it's really not about them anymore. It's about how you and I treat Jesus, not just at Christmas. How do we treat Jesus throughout the course of every day? How do we treat Jesus when we're going through those difficult places? Or we're going through those joyous times? How do we treat Jesus? How do we treat Jesus? But before we think about that, let's think about how Jesus was treating us from moment one, from day one. Think about it. When the angel spoke to Mary, you know, when Gabriel said, you will have a child, and the glory of the Lord will be over you. When Christ was conceived supernaturally in Mary's womb, for our sinful conception, his was sinless. Throughout the term of Mary's pregnancy, Christ, you know, giving joy to John in the womb of his mom. I mean, it's amazing to really just stop and think about this Christmas miracle, this Christmas gift, Jesus, the best gift ever, and to think about how he was treating us from in utero to his infancy, to his troublesome twos, to his toddler years, to his teenage years. I mean, think about it this way. He is your substitute. He is living out your life according to the will of God perfectly in every sense of the word. He is doing it for you. He is treating you with love and grace and mercy. We call it his active and passive righteousness. Certainly did a lot of passive righteousness as a child, as an infant. But he is fulfilling all that God had ordained necessary for your salvation and mine. That's how he was treating you, treating me, treating us, as objects of God's love and salvation, as the recipients of the best gifts God has in store for the human race. Certainly God gives us many things. Maybe some of the gifts you have are just now you're discovering more and you're more thankful for. Well, hopefully as you treat Jesus in the course of your days and weeks in this, at the end of this year, at the beginning of the next year, you'll see how wonderful it is to have Jesus and the gift that he is to your life. But he would be, for you and for me, the substitute. And it's interesting to hear the words. You know, Simeon, I mean, look at the picture on the front of your page, of your bulletin. It's fascinating. We know that Anna's elderly. She's in her 80s. But we don't know. We don't know what age Simeon was. And yet, oftentimes, when you look at, you know, pictures created of these of this account, Simeon's always an old guy, but we don't know how old he is. I mean, people die in their 20s and their 30s, 40s. All we know is that he was told by God that he would see, how did he say it? The consolation of Israel before he died. And he got a chance to see the comfort that would be given by God. And Anna celebrating the redemption. You know, this word redemption, we heard it in our Old Testament reading about redeeming the firstborn male. And we hear about Anna talking about the redemption. It's a technical term. It's a commerce term. It's a commercial term to redeem something. How many of you have redeemed or purchased back your mortgage so that no one can hold any account to your home and property. How many of you can't wait to pay off your mortgage? Yeah, so that you can. I'm wondering when we're going to burn our mortgage since we've paid off our mortgage. I mean, it's nice to be able to say, free and clear, when it comes to the things that we encumber ourselves to and make payments on until they're ours. But here's the good news about Christ. He came to redeem us from so much more in this land. Our fears, our angers, our resentments, our regrets, our fear, our shame, our guilt, our pain. He came to do it, and he would do it by being the sacrifice on the cross. Living our life perfectly, he would go the way of the cross, and then he would take upon himself all of our sin and wickedness, so that when he said to tetelestai, or in the English, paid in full, it is finished, free and clear. You and I are free and clear. So when something from the past comes to give you guilt, you can say, you don't own me. I'm free and clear of this. Jesus took care of it. When you're finding yourself dealing with some kind of a resentment or some kind of an anger issue, you can say to anger, you don't own me. I've been redeemed. I'm free and clear. Christ is my redemption. I mean, that's how Jesus wants to be treated. He's no longer a little baby that you grab and hold up. He's a Savior that you hold up to your fears and your shame and your guilt and your pain. And you say to those things, you don't own me. I've been redeemed. I've been paid for, free and clear. And that's how Jesus wants to be treated by us. He wants to be applied to anything and everything across the spectrum of your life and my life, wherever we get held hostage by strong emotions like fear and guilt and shame and blame and resentment and apprehension. I mean, some of us maybe don't like the idea that we're ending a year and we're stepping into a new year. I mean, after a while, you realize there's so many minefields. Don't let that own you. You've been redeemed. And you can say to that kind of thinking in your own heart and mind, you don't own me. How's that for a sermon you can preach to yourself? To preach to your fears. To preach to your sorrows and regrets and fears. You don't own me. That's how Jesus wants to be treated. Today, he wants you to receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how he wants to be treated. This do often, he says, in remembrance of me. I mean, talk about something to remember the sacrifice, how you were delivered with outstretched arms on Calvary's cross so that you would be free in the Lord. You know, Jesus is the best gift ever, because he's at work caring for us right now. He's taking care of you and me even now in so many ways. That's how he treats us, with love and hope and peace and joy. Because he's the best gift ever. In the name of Jesus, Merry Christmas.